I'm 100% all in, and I want to see Danhausen arrive at WrestleMania in a blimp. It's fucking Vegas. Fucking do it, Triple H. Give me what I want. Give me what I want.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And as your wise man, I'm here to bestow upon you the wisdom that you're listening to Punks Talk Wrestling.
Welcome to Punks Talk Wrestling! On this episode, we talk about everything that happened at the 2026 Elimination Chamber and the aftermath on Monday Night Raw! I am R.W. Hellborn, the PA Rock Prince, hailing quote-unquote from Philly! And I am one half of the crowd, which is one half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Inter-Universal Tag Team Podcast Champion Host of the World! Now, then, and forever by my side, 3,500 miles away in London, England, he is my tag team podcast partner. He's the other half of the crowd, which is the other half of your Punks Talk Wrestling Inter-Universal Tag Team Podcast Champion House of the World, Mr. Did You Know, Sir King of Reels, the proper prick, C.J. Newman!
Oh man, that's going to be good for all the people to listen to. Anyway, did you know that CM Punk has faced John Cena more than anyone else in his career at an astounding 103 matches? 103, he's faced John Cena 103 times. Can you, CM Punk, yes, and that's Cena has won 66 times. And Punk has won 15 times, and all of the other matches are labeled as either a draw or other because they've had other outcomes. But can you name the two next people on that list with the most, basically the most common opponents for CM Punk? I'll give you 10 guesses instead of a time limit here, actually.
Okay, okay. But who?
And I think one of them is going to be really fucking hard, actually, so...
Daniel Bryan?
No.
No? Bryan Danielson?
No.
Same guy.
But you guessed, and I'm taking it as a guess. I'm sorry.
Fuck. All right. It can't, Randy Orton was a...
No.
Was, no? Chris Jericho?
No.
The Miz?
No. You got five more guesses.
Are they on the current WWE roster?
One is, one is not.
It's not The Undertaker, is it?
No.
Rey Mysterio.
Yes, that's one of them.
Hey, all right.
He's faced Rey Mysterio 86 times in his career, but I haven't got a win-loss record for that. One more person, three more guesses.
Well, we'll ask Rey Mysterio next time I'm not eating an apple as he walks by. Oh, man. Okay, so I've got how many more guesses for the
three more guesses?
Next one, three more guesses for the number. Is this the number two or number three?
This is the number three spot.
Okay, this is the number three spot,
and this is the harder one to get. I really don't think you'll get this.
But it's not on the current roster.
Not on the current roster. And I'll give you another hint. They're also not in AEW either.
Were they okay? Here's another question. Were they on the current WWE roster when CM Punk returned to WWE?
No.
Okay. So
has to have been someone over a decade ago. Okay. Oh man. Okay. It can't be Ryback, is it?
No.
Okay.
I bet you that's high though, but no, it's not. All right, I'm going to give you one more hint after your next guess, because I'll give you a little help.
Kane?
Nope, you got one more. My hint for you is it's someone who has some kind of career attachment to The Miz.
John Morrison?
Yep, there it is.
Yes, at the last second.
You're going to right at the end. He's faced John Morrison 81 times in his career.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. Just another couple of digi bonuses. CM Punk has beat Roman Reigns more than Roman Reigns has beat CM Punk. CM Punk has a record of 19 wins to 4 losses against Roman Reigns in his career. So that's going into their match at WrestleMania.
Boy.
And just as a random little tidbit here, this is kind of crazy to think, but being that CM Punk kind of debuted in wrestling around the tail end of the 90s, CM Punk has had matches against Jerry the King Lawler, Sabu, Road Warrior Animal and Hawk, Dusty Rhodes, Maven, Terry Funk, Eddie Guerrero, Mick Foley, Scott Hall, X-Pac, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Jay Lethal, El Torito, Road Dogg, Kevin Nash, Super Crazy, and Super Dragon, just to name a few. I just thought those are really random fucking names for him to have matches with. So, there you go.
Shoutouts! Shout out to Wikipedia, support Wikipedia, Al at 2K, and Kaylee at 2K UK, WWE 2K26, Monday Night War, Attitude Era, and King of Kings editions available today! It's the biggest roster ever with 400 plus playable characters. Feeling hardcore? Use thumbtack, stack tables, shopping carts, and more to punish opponents. Will you survive 4 new match types, including the Inferno match, Dumpster match, I Quit match, and 3 stages of hell? Old Glory, iconic music and sports fan merch. Get 15% off of your entire order with the promo code PTW at oldglory.com. Liqueur gummies that help prevent hangovers. Get 20% off with the promo code PTW at liqure.com.
How's about we talk about Elimination Chamber Chicago?
Yeah!
I feel like at this point there's so many directions you can go in with this. But let's start off in classic fashion.
Absolutely. Look at that poster. On Wikipedia.
There we go. AJ Lee and CM Punk on the post there. It's 2026 Elimination Chamber live from, well, actually also promoted as Elimination Chamber Chicago, or also known as No Escape Chicago in Germany.
Yep.
As we've spoken about a million times before. 16th Elimination Chamber event to take place. If you want to hear more about the Elimination Chamber generally, just listen to our last episode. We look back at the match type and the event in general, and it's like 25 year history now, which is crazy. So this took place at the United Center. A little bit on that, which is kind of crazy. So this is the first ever premium live event / pay-per-view that WWE have held out of the United Center since the 1994 SummerSlam. Also held there was WCW's Spring Stampede in the year 2000. Mm. And also, this was the arena where CM Punk made his return to professional wrestling for AEW in 2023 as well.
Recently.
Recently, yeah. So, same arena there. So, but yeah, obviously, All-State Arena is the usual suspect for WWE when they go to Chicago. How's about you give us a little on-screen personnel?
All right. Your on-screen personnel for the Elimination Chamber 2026. The English commentators, Michael Cole and Wade Barrett. Spanish commentators, Marcelo Rodriguez and Jerry Soto. Ring announcers, Mark Nash and Ray Clay for the Punk vs. Balor voice only. I don't know what that means.
It was the CM Punk had his Chicago Bulls entrance.
Oh, right. All right. That was right. That was right, Clay. All right. Referees Danilo, Amphibio, Sean Bennett, Jessica Carr, Chip Danning, Dan Angler, Chad Patton, Eddie Arango, Rod Zapata, interviewed by Kathy Kelly, Byron Saxton, and Jackie Redmond, with a pre-show panel that we never watch with Joe Tessitore, Big E, and Peter Rosenberg.
Who the fuck's Chip Danning? That's a
I don't know.
One.
He doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so I can't tell you. But anybody who knows which match Chip Danning, I mean, we could go back and find out. But
he was probably he looks familiar, ish kind of.
Maybe he was.
He was probably manning one of the chambers in the Elimination Chamber match.
Oh yes, yeah, because referees open the pods too. Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd only have four referees on this event.
Right.
Because there's four matches.
Yep. That makes sense. Well, Chad Patton still does not have a Wikipedia page. Come on, people.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Come on.
It's ridiculous. We need to set up a petition
toxic
for that shit.
It's toxic.
It's toxic.
It's toxic, the Chad
I've got
Patton.
The accent for that one, actually, so I can do that.
You really do.
Toxic.
A lot more
well-spoken English than
yeah.
I am.
Oh, man.
All right, so...
Sorry, I trailed off there because Kit Wilson's new character shift was just amazing, and I love it.
I am absolutely in love with that character, and the crowd's getting into it, I'm getting into it, and there's a lot of really good. We'll get into that in a minute because we can speak about comedy wrestling in a second for a good reason, but we'll get to that.
Let's get into the chamber.
First match of the night, we had the women's Elimination Chamber match for the number one contendership, the WWE Women's Championship, WrestleMania 42, which is obviously Jade Cargill. So we had Rhea Ripley, Tiffany Stratton, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, and Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah, and big shout out to Kiana James being, one of the featured newest to the main roster. Kind of a little dark horse in there, but I really liked them giving her a push outside of her role with Julia. Did a fantastic job. I think it was a perfect showcase for her. I know people. I'm not going to call them people because they're likely bots or bots or twats, hashtag bots or twats, complained about why put her in the Elimination Chamber when you know she's not going to win. And it's like, well, you know, five of the six people aren't going to win. So why are any of them in the chamber? The point is to showcase, Javon, we knew Javon Evans was not going to win. We knew Trick Williams wasn't going to win either. I can't believe anyone would have thought that LA Knight was going to win either, because of course he wasn't going to win either.
It's just like the Elimination Chamber is kind of like a very smaller condensed version of the Royal Rumble. You put people in it to showcase them. You know they're not going to win, but you go back historically here, like, Cody Rhodes was in an Elimination Chamber. Cody Rhodes was in an Elimination Chamber back in like 2009. Like,
yes.
He knew he wasn't going to win, but
yes,
he was in there to showcase Cody Rhodes. That's why he was in it.
Yeah, and I think, I do think certain people forget that is part of it. They're there to entertain and showcase you and make you surprised that, oh my God, what if? Like, that's crazy. No one thought she was going to be in the chamber, and that's one of the best reasons to put her in there is because no one expected it,
And I tell you what, a good example of this, I couldn't tell you the exact year, but it's around 2012, 2011, something like that. It was on the run-up, probably 2012 or 2013. It was on the run-up to WrestleMania 30 or something like that. Anyway, we had Santino Marella was in the Elimination Chamber match, and if you can remember, it came down to him and Daniel Bryan, and I think Daniel Bryan was like world champion at the time.
Because it was being defended in the chamber.
Yeah, right. And Santino came like close like three times in that match to winning the world championship, and people started to believe that he was actually going to win it.
Holy fucking shit, it might actually happen. And then
That's why you put people in the match. Now, we didn't have a moment like that with Javon Evans or with Kiana James, but hell, I thought Kiana James looked great in this match. Like she pinned
Alexa Bliss, you know.
That's right. Yeah. You know? That's a big deal. And but it made everyone. I thought everyone in this match looked great. Raquel Rodriguez pinned Kiana James and Asuka at the same time, and she looked great.
Yeah, I mean, she spent 16 minutes and 15 seconds, both her and Asuka, right? Let's see, time. Oh, this is the weird time that doesn't quite work. In their table. Like, these times, I don't know that. Tracks, but anyway,
it's time from when the bell rang. It doesn't really make much sense,
right? Yeah. It's time from when the bell rang, not the time they spent in the chamber. But
still,
Kiana James entered at number one, so Kiana James did spend 16 minutes and 15 seconds out of the 24 minute match in the match.
Right.
She started with Tiffany Stratton, former champion.
Yeah, yeah, and Tiffany Stratton herself lasted 24 minutes because she was from the start all the way to Rhea Ripley.
She was the number two entrant, and she was the last eliminated.
So we ultimately got the winner here of Rhea Ripley, and obviously we're gonna get Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill at WrestleMania, a match that I actually watched this one with Heather, and Heather is a very part-time kind of watching out of the corner of her eye while she's on Instagram, watcher of wrestling. But she knows enough, and she's excited to see that. Why? And it's, you know what? It's so good to watch wrestling with someone that's as casual as she is, because to her, like, she can go like, Jade Cargill, strong woman. Rhea Ripley, strong woman. I'm looking forward to this one because it's basic. You don't need more than that. Like, it's two dominant females going off against each other.
No, so. It is really good to get a casual fan perspective from it, because you really know, like, this is what catches people who don't really know what's going on, but can clearly see, these two look like, you know, titans that are battling each other. They are larger than life characters. This is the equivalent, I would say, almost as close as you get to like a Hulk Hogan versus Randy Savage era. Like, these are two people that we really like for different reasons. We really, really love both of these people, regardless of whether they're faces or heels. We just love seeing these two people and can't wait to see these two people beat each other up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited for this match. It's obviously a match we've never seen before. Crazy that this is Rhea Ripley's fifth world title. Fifth time being in a world championship match in her WrestleMania record. And the only other time she was going up for a tag team championship. So she's had a title match at every WrestleMania that's happened in her career.
That is that's amazing.
Which is crazy. It's astounding that the crowd haven't turned on her for that, because you know what some people are like.
Let's be honest here. The crowd is never going to turn on Rhea Ripley.
You're right. You know, it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Nobody needs to fool themselves about anything. They made a brand new type of toy, and she's the first one that they have. She honestly is, I would say, the Hulk Hogan of this era. I know we don't have to talk about his later in life, the person. I mean the character in WWE who is the largest of the larger than lives, fantastical,
and I think
inspirational. Everyone loves them. Like,
yeah,
they are just.
I was at work the other day, and it came up that I watched. I guess I was wearing a wrestling T-shirt, and that came up, and I mentioned that I watch wrestling, And the first thing that someone said to me was like, oh, so like Rhea Ripley. And I was like,
yep, yeah,
and
exactly.
This girl knew nothing else about wrestling. She knew nothing. She knew who Rhea Ripley was.
Absolutely. So. And that's what I mean.
Yeah, there's few the people degree. That have been, I think basically what we're looking at is people that were famous still while they were wrestlers. And I think obviously Hogan is one of them. And I would say
nothing else. Yeah.
I would say Stone Cold Steve Austin was another. I feel like he was a household name, but even if you didn't watch wrestling, you knew who Stone Cold was. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's going to be a great match. Looking forward to it. Moving on from that, we have AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Which we had AJ Lee defeat Becky Lynch. Yeah, great match. And obviously AJ's first match, first singles match since returning, which is wild. I actually looked up the other day while that match happened. Her last singles match was against Brie Bella on a Monday Night Raw.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Just a random match with
Brie
Bella.
And you know what's crazy? Like, I didn't get this statistic at all like perfectly, but going back on AJ Lee's match history, like, and it shows you the state of women's wrestling back in 2012, 2011. She never, ever really featured. She never had matches on a pay-per-view. It never really happened.
Really?
Yeah, because they never had women's matches on pay-per-views.
They had so few. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh,
so
man,
this is definitely one of the biggest matches of her entire career, basically.
I would say so. I would say so in front of the largest audience, maybe too. I don't know, but that's again, that's just fantastic to see the women in professional wrestling being featured so much more prominently. The storylines are so much better. This whole storyline with Becky Lynch and goddamn, Becky Lynch is also one of the greatest professional wrestlers, and it's it is not just me saying it. Sports Illustrated says it. The Bleacher Report does say it. Many people do say it. But man, I'm so glad that she is she went so in on this angle. Honestly, it's a very reminiscent, and I hate to say it. I hate to give him any sort of credit or praise right now, but it's reminiscent of the Sami Zayn conspiracy theory.
I was literally talking to someone about that the other day. I love that gimmick so much.
And that was the last time I really cared. That's the last time I really, really cared about Sami Zayn. I was entertained by his involvement in the Bloodline in the same way I was entertained with like R-Truth, in Judgment Day. It wasn't actually serious, and we all knew exactly what would happen eventually, and it did, and it was great for what it was, but I didn't actually care about Sammy during that part. I cared about the Bloodline,
right.
I only cared about him because he was in the Bloodline, and that's the thing. So really, Roman Reigns was the only person that kept me caring about Sami Zayn, one's up, I am acknowledging my tribal chief.
And like, to quickly touch on Sami Zayn, not to derail too much, but I am intrigued as to where they are going with him, because obviously he had an interaction with Jacob Fatu on SmackDown this past week, and he had one with Cody the week before. And obviously he's starting to like snap a little bit, and he's starting to blame other people for him not winning the championship, but obviously they're telling him that he's the only person to blame. So
I'm
intrigued to see where it goes.
Honestly, I think it's because their Triple H might be listening again. It's been a while since I told Triple H, give me and really what I want is a Sami Zayn that I care about. And a Sami Zayn it's the Sami Zayn that we were. It's the Sami Zayn we were supposed to get with Karrion Kross, and that we never got. And to that point, Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross was the last person that made me care about Sami Zayn. Now that you mention it, so. Cross and Roman Reigns, or conspiracy theory, Sammy. You know, that was it. Maybe we're finally getting. Yeah, maybe we're finally getting him to where he needs to be for me.
Yeah.
But anyway, but also, who the fuck cares what I think? Well, you know. Anyway, AJ Lee defeats Becky Lynch via submission in 15 minutes 40 seconds. We did derail that a little bit, but we're back on track.
Yeah, and where do we go from here? I don't know. I could see maybe a rematch come WrestleMania for the championship. But I really don't know. So
you know, Becky Lynch is she's trying to have the match overturned by the Illinois State Athletics Commission or something like that. The story between the story with Becky Lynch and Jessica Carr is also fantastic. I actually think we might be seeing Jessica Carr in ring gear.
Yeah, well, she is. She wrestles under a mask in Evolve. If you did not know that.
Oh, does she now? I did not know that.
Yeah, so she, I don't know her ring name, but she does wrestle under a mask in Evolve. She is training to be a wrestler, or a wrestler.
I did not know that. I'm gonna have to start watching Evolve more than I said I was in my WWE Fan Council online questionnaire. I have watched Evolve.
Which I want to do. God damn it!
I know. I think you're right. I think it's probably just US only for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
But you know what? We'll just, you and I will just vote collectively on anything.
Yeah.
I
would, just before we move on, I just had a really, really quick look, and I think, here we go. The last pay-per-view that AJ Lee wrestled at was WrestleMania 31, and it was AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins in a 6 minute and 40 second match.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know where I was going with this. anyway, I forgot where I was going with it. Let's move on. CM Punk versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship. I think this might also be the first time in WWE or maybe even all of professional wrestling history. Let's see if someone can prove me wrong that a husband and wife had back-to-back matches
I feel like the only time that might be the case was when Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins have obviously been on the same card.
Oh, it might have been. Well,
And
that's
I
true.
Did start to think, oh, maybe but was this it back is the to first back? Time. There's a back. Was it back-to-back? But what, is this the first time you've had a married couple hold championships, but we did have Becky holding the Intercontinental and Seth holding the world title at the same time. So
it's exactly the same. It's the women's Intercontinental and the World Heavyweight. So, which is also great because we keep seeing them intertwined. Seth, you know, the Seth and Becky, Punk and AJ.
Yeah.
You know, we might get some crazy. I mean, I know we've seen it. We already saw the you know, the mixed tag, but there might still be another one. You know, there might still be another mixed tag match that we could see.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now the titles are on the other side, and it could be, and we could have one of those situations, especially with Seth. Seth kind of got his. I don't know where we're going with Seth Rollins. Yeah, took a real. We'll get to that. We'll get to that with Monday.
Yeah.
So let's go through the match. CM Punk versus Finn Balor again. I know we talked about it briefly, and I did ask why, and then we had the match, and I'm like, oh, that's why. Oh, that's why. God damn, that was a fantastic.
Match was. I didn't think it was good as their one in Belfast. I thought that was a much better match. Mm-hmm. Not to say this was bad. I just thought that one was better. I just obviously think that when you've got the challenger going for the championship in their hometown, it obviously makes for a cooler atmosphere because yes. you kind of want the underdog to win in a way in their hometown.
Right, but, exactly. Whereas this is CM Punk in his hometown coming exactly. in as champion.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different vibe. And obviously going into it, kind of, you know it's going to be Punk and Roman at WrestleMania. Like, there's that. But I still, with shit like that, I'm like, I don't complain about it. I'm like, this is still CM Punk versus Finn Balor. It's still going to be a fucking great match.
Yes.
I still look forward to where it's going to go because obviously, you know, Punk shook Finn Balor's hand at the end. And it seems like this time he actually meant it.
Yeah.
So on that bit at Balor's side. So, yeah. And I think by the looks of Raw, we're going to definitely head towards Balor versus Dominic Mysterio, like I said last week.
Yeah. Maybe, but do you think it's going to be for the AAA championship? Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
As far as a mini rivalry goes, like that was a really, really good mini rivalry there. It at the end of the day, what it did was it progressed Finn Balor to the next point where he needs to go, and that's going to be without the Judgment Day.
Right.
Last up. Before
we get to that, we had the debut of Danhausen. I know enough about this guy because he's obviously kind of been in the wrestling zeitgeist for a few years now, and it's just like he is obviously something that I have seen clips of on YouTube, Instagram, you know, whatever social media. He's kind of like being unavoidable. But I've never really actively watched much of him or seen much of him. So I am looking forward to seeing what this is about.
Yeah. And I can attest, I have never seen anything at all that he has done. Like I've seen his face. My aunt knitted a Danhausen quilt for a customer. Someone sent her like 40 Danhausen t-shirts, but probably every single one, and then had like commissioned her to make a quilt out of it. I knew the face, but I honestly knew nothing about it. And I'm really, really happy that I didn't. Now that I got to see him, it's one of those things where when you see something for the first time and you're like, oh, instantly, I love this because I'm glad I saw him for the first time in WWE so that I could experience him for the first time in a place that I, like I said, I like the production and everything. If I had seen him I might not have gotten it that the right way. If I saw him in a different thing, and then just wouldn't have been as excited is really the key. I haven't been this excited about somebody that I didn't know anything about really, except since AJ Lee, or I mean, since AJ Styles. So sorry.
Yeah.
Since AJ Styles, because you know, AJ Styles is the same. I knew he, you know, I'd seen clips maybe of him. I knew he wrestled, but he had never been in the WWE. So like, yeah, that was, this was the, yeah, I was extremely excited.
Yeah, and exactly. And same. And like, him. And I thought the entrance was fucking fantastic. Like, yeah. I thought that the pathetic pyro was such a good touch.
Dude. Okay. And I tried to explain to people that like the first criticism of like, what the fuck was up with that rinky pyro? I was like, dude,
that's the point.
That's part of the point. Like, do you think if they wanted to have this some grand opulent Charlotte Flair pyro, they wouldn't have done that?
That
is clearly part of the gimmick.
It's not failed pyro. He had the pyro three times in the entrance. Like, yes. He didn't fail three times. It was on purpose.
It is something that we constantly have to deal with when it comes to the internet whining community, is that they're so quick to jump on something that they don't know because they think in their mind have like created this idea. They fantasy booked this thing in their head, and when it's not exactly what they imagined, they get mad instead of just enjoying what it is, you know, for what it is, they're mad about what it's not. Because they made, you know, the idea that people really, really thought that it was going to be Chris Jericho coming out of a fucking crate.
Like, I know.
Why on earth would anyone ever think Chris Jericho would come out of a fucking box?
Yeah.
There's, you know, so that's on you. If you, you know, and sorry, like, I'm not, you know, not just come on. Come on.
I don't know. That just kind of pulled out of nowhere, the whole Chris Jericho thing.
Yeah. It could be. Hey, man, Chris Jericho might be the one to answer Brock Lesnar's open challenge. Because I don't think we've ever seen Chris Jericho versus Brock Lesnar, have we? I mean, he might die. Brock Lesnar might possibly literally kill Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I don't think we have seen that match, but I don't want to see that match, to be honest. But yeah, there's a lot of places to go. I mean, we saw Danhausen's first appearance on Raw. I see him as definitely a he is the Deadpool of professional wrestling. I think he can certainly break the fourth wall and just be that character that everyone's annoyed by, dude, but kind of loves at the same time.
When his entrance music hit, because I've never heard his entrance before, I don't know if that
that's a new theme.
Oh, that's a new theme. Well, I fucking love it because it's
great.
It looks
it's
like,
fucking fantastic.
It's like I instantly was like, oh, it's the fucking Monsters.
And obviously on Raw we had him obviously call. He said, called Adam Pearce Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Dude, I know. Yeah.
And then he said that his list of demands was a blimp, a 2026 Hall of Fame induction, a personal camera boy, whatever that means. He wants his face in all the trucks, and he wants one of those pointing pictures with Triple H.
Which he got immediately after. Yes.
Which was also brilliant because Triple H put welcome to the big Danhausen, and Danhausen put it's time to play the Gamehausen. Main event, Elimination Chamber, number one contendership for the WWE Championship, WrestleMania 42. We had Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, Logan Paul.
Dude, starting it off, Javon Evans and Cody Rhodes at 1 and 2 was once again fantastic. You know, the same thing. Kiana James started off at number one, and we had Rising Star versus former champion as 1 and 2 in both matches. What do we love about WWE when they do something that works and then they immediately do it again? You know. Yeah. But anyway, Javon Evans and Cody Rhodes start off the match. Trick comes in at number three, and Logan Paul is fourth, and LA Knight is fifth in. Randy Orton comes in, is the sixth to enter.
And Trick Williams is just like, I can't, I mean, I don't think I've expressed this much on the pod just yet, but
dude,
fuck, man. Like, that guy has come to the main roster, and he's a fucking megastar. Like, he's not ready for the main event, but he is ready to be on morning TV shows, late night shows. He's ready for everything, he's the perfect guy for it.
Remember how Macho Man would be, you know, Macho Man would be in interviews on Arsenio Hall and what other shows and stuff like that in character as Macho Man. You know, he is that, and Trick Williams is that guy, like, that will just be Trick Williams, you know, everywhere he goes, because why not? When you're Trick Williams, why not talk about how you talk about it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know? He's already got so many, you know, the Lemon Pepper Steppers, and
he's got half a dozen catchphrases already.
He's kind of like, he's got that rock element. He's got that Booker T element.
He's got that Ric Flair. Yeah.
He's got the Ric Flair element. He's picked all the best parts out of so many people.
Dude.
And he's a fucking star waiting.
He really is. Yeah, you're right. He kind of picked and choose, picked like the best pieces of some of the best wrestlers and entertainers, performers, you know.
Yeah. And he's great in the ring too. Like, he puts on a fucking great match,
dude,
as well. Like,
but dude, the mic matters. The mic on the mic matters so much. And let's be honest, LA Knight is proof that the mic matters. Logan Paul is proof that the mic matters. You know,
everyone in this match, honestly, I mean, it's crazy to say the weakest on the mic in this match probably would be Randy Orton, but he's still great.
No, I would say Cody Rhodes is the weakest on the mic in all of the team. Well, if we're being serious, Javon Evans is probably the weakest on the mic, but it's not a comparable thing because you can't compare Javon Evans on the mic to Randy Orton on the mic with 25 plus years.
Right. But it's unfair to compare, yeah.
But Trick Williams has everything. He's got it all.
He's ready for it all, man. I look forward to anywhere that's going.
But I don't want him to be champion right away either. I want him to just hang out and whoop everybody.
He's a future main event star. I could see in four or five years from now, we're gonna have like Trick Williams versus Bron Breakker in the main event of WrestleMania.
We're looking at like WrestleMania 50 here. Because these dudes are still young. They got 10 plus years. You know, we can see Randy Orton's 25 years, and everybody's taking better care of themselves. We talk about this all the time. These dudes are gonna have an exceptionally long career, and Trick Williams might be a guy that gets so far and goes away too for a little bit. I could see that happening to any of these guys. Yeah. They do it because it works. But Trick Williams is already a former TNA World Champion too.
Look at that.
So we'll get into that. But before that, let's not brush over what else happened during this match. After
sure.
We have with Logan Paul. Before he was eliminated.
Oh my god, how did I even fucking forget this?
Yeah, after Logan Paul eliminated Trick Williams, we had masked men interference.
Yeah.
And chased first got chased by security, then it's been such a whirlwind, I forget how many there was at least two, right? There was two separate guys. Because they had, I'm mixing it up with Raw.
Yeah.
And we had one guy, we had one masked man come out and that distracted security. The second masked man jumped to barricade. That was Seth Rollins. He stomped Logan Paul. Cody Rhodes pinned him. Then after that, Drew came in and got involved, hitting Cody with the things, and Orton still got pissed at him. They both beat the shit out. They both hit Drew with their finishers, and Randy then just turned and RKO'd Cody.
Yeah,
I think it's fucking brilliant. And
no, the ending of that match was fucking stellar, man. That was a great end.
Here's the thing. Did you see the post show? If you didn't see the post show, then you didn't know the repercussions of Drew McIntyre's
interaction. Oh, I know. So now we've got Drew versus Cody on SmackDown, which I completely forgot about. You're right.
I think this is how we get there, because Cody's going to beat Randy Orton, or Cody's going to beat Drew McIntyre. There's probably still going to be. I know people keep wanting it to, and it's hard because you keep fantasy booking things, and then you're going to get disappointed. But if you wanted Jacob Fatu to still be involved, he can be involved in that match to cost Drew the championship, because Fatu still thinks it's Drew who attacked him.
He does.
I still believe Drew McIntyre, because we're in an era where heels don't lie. They just tell the truth in the most dickish way possible. You know, I don't believe he lied, which is fine, because it could have been Sami Zayn. It could have been Sami Zayn that attacked Fatu, and that comes out. And then this is where we get Sami gone crazy.
I don't know where we go with Sammy for WrestleMania. But I guess we could have Drew versus Jacob Fatu in like a street fight
Some sort of grudge match.
Yeah.
And then Sammy comes out and jumps Fatu to help Drew win. Fuck! We could, you know, maybe, and then maybe we just put Drew and Sammy together for whatever reason. I don't know. I'm going off the rails with speculations. I'm just, I'm not trying to finish it. Just there are so many directions you can go.
There are a lot of ways it could go, but with so many different people involved.
I'm putting my bet on Cody Rhodes. It's going to be Cody Rhodes beating Drew on SmackDown. So we've got Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, and at WrestleMania. That's probably where we're headed.
And that's a great match. I think it is a match we've seen before, but I feel like we can get a really good run up to it now. And obviously there's so much of a story to tell between these two.
Yeah.
And you could honestly, if you really wanted to, you could go for a heel Randy Orton route if you wanted
to. Well, you don't even have to. I don't even think you have to go for a heel. To compare as best possible, this is maybe like a Hogan Warrior situation where these are both faces. People love them. People love both. I mean, they are technically faces. And you can just have a great match between two guys for the title.
Yeah.
For the championship.
But the good thing is, it's like we've got Mentor versus Mentee.
Well, yeah, I guess. And they're also
student
both.
Versus teacher versus student kind
they're
of
also,
situation.
They're also both second generation. Randy's a third generation.
Randy's third generation,
But yeah, we've got, you know.
But two family, you know, two wrestling families.
Two wrestling families, oh, absolutely. And Bob Orton and Dusty Rhodes have some history too, I believe. So,
yeah.
You know. I think that's absolutely where we're going, and I'm totally fine. I will enjoy that and love that.
Oh, I'm very much here for that match. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
With that, what would you out of our D20? What do you want to give? What do you want to give Elimination Chamber 2026?
I'd give it a solid 18.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think 18 is a fair score.
I think that was exactly what I thought. 18, everything was solid. We're not gonna talk about botches because we don't talk about those things. That's stuff we don't care about. So.
Because guess what? I go to work every day and I also make mistakes, but no one ever talks about them.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I don't make any mistakes ever. But I don't talk about it. I'm really humble, so I don't talk about never making any mistakes ever. Anyways. Shoutouts are moved to the intro, so we don't have to do that. I think that's it.
Do we do anything else
at the end anymore?
I know, apart from me saying bye.
Patreon, www.patreon.com/punkstalkwrestling, Instagram at punkstalkwrestling, Threads at punkstalkwrestling, or YouTube at punkstalkwrestling. You can also email us at punkstalkwrestling@gmail.com. Now that's it.
Oh, now we're done.
Now we're really done for real.